Support for best practices of top practices with Stephen J. Anderson comes from Total Patient Service. Reach the highest levels of dental case acceptance, productivity, and profit with Total Patient Service. Whether you attend any of the highly impactful TOPS continuing education courses or enroll in their customized Total Practice Support Program, your practice will stay plugged in and turned onto the ideas, techniques, and systems that will help you continually implement what works to keep your practice working for you, your patients, and your team. Right now, listeners can download Total Patient Service's ebook titled The Science of Setting and Achieving Goals for free. Visit their website at www.totalpatientservice.com to download your free copy today. That's www.totalpatientservice.com. Welcome to Best Practices of Top Practices with Stephen J. Anderson. If you believe that your team is your most powerful case acceptance tool, that if they are good enough to hire, they are good enough to train, and that you must be as good on the inside as you appear to be on the outside, then we have designed the techniques and systems for team case acceptance that will take your team practice performance to the top. Here's your host, Steve Anderson.
Welcome back to the Best Practices of Top Practices. This is Steve Anderson, and we've been discussing survey results from the National Survey on What Patients Really Want or What Patients Expect from Their Dentist Today. It reveals some interesting facts, some that are not surprising, others that are a bit revelatory in terms of what consumers are looking for today. In the past, in our previous session, our previous podcast, we talked about one finding, which was patients want more information about oral cancer and what your oral cancer screening protocol is in your office. We also talked about another finding, which is patients today want to know more about periodontal disease. Now, they don't call it periodontal disease, gum disease or infection, but people more and more today are getting plugged into the whole health consequences of their oral health. We're going to talk today about some additional findings that could have a huge impact on how you present and position your practice. So let's talk about another survey finding. This one I found a little bit counterintuitive, a little bit, it didn't make sense to me at first when we stumbled across the results. And basically the result, the finding was, patients today don't want you to tell them to floss. That's right. While patients say they want more information about periodontal disease on the one hand, they also said in the survey, in so many words, that they don't want to be told to floss. Now, I'll confess, I didn't see how that made any sense. So perhaps on the surface it doesn't, but then when you take two factors into consideration, it makes all the sense in the world. So let's take a look at that. First, when patients are asked to rank in order of priority the most important oral health tasks, okay, so the things they have to do to stay healthy, it may not surprise you to know that there's a strong correlation between the ease of the task on the one hand and how high it's ranked. So here's the correlation. The easier it is to do, the higher it ranks on the list. So that may be one way to relieve some guilt, but the fact remains, if it's hard to do, then we consciously or subconsciously, we avoid doing it and we tend to place a lower value on it. So even to the point of trying to convince ourselves that it just isn't that important, so we rank it lower. The harder it is to do, the less importance we tend to place on it because we don't want to do it. And most people don't like to floss because they perceive that it's hard to do. Now, second, when you consider another survey finding, a pattern and a clear message starts to emerge. Now listen to this. Only 56% of survey respondents said that taking x-rays was important. So of all the dental procedures listed, x-rays ranked at the bottom of the list in importance to patients. So one of the most important diagnostic tools in dentistry, and patients rank it dead last. So here's the interesting dichotomy. While patients want you to address their whole health, they're not particularly interested in having you do a procedure that's essential for the diagnosis, and they don't want to talk about having to do something that will keep them healthy. So again, while that might seem like a conflicting message, I want to be healthy, but please don't tell me to do something I don't want to do, and don't do the diagnostics you need that will help keep me healthy, there's a lesson to be learned that we need to be doing something different in the office to accomplish better objectives. So it's no secret that we are living in a new age of consumer education. Because of the internet and media and social media, consumers and patients are becoming more and more educated. So information on just about any subject is available to just about anyone with the simple click of a few keys on the computer. Now, it may be accurate or inaccurate, but the consumer perception is that if it's on the internet, it's accurate. So information has made us created a world that is empowered and free to make decisions. So we're no longer bound by just what any one expert or authority tells us. You've had the experience where people come in and start quoting you things off the internet as if that's the definitive authority. So we can look it up, we can compare, we can find out for ourselves. We have become more skeptical and questioning and far more informed. So as a result, we are less likely today to take anyone's word for anything. We're less likely to be told what to do without understanding the why we're supposed to do it. We want to know why. So if there is a revelation here, is this: we can't tell patients anything anymore. For too many years in dentistry, we've gotten away with just telling patients what to do or what we're going to do without question. Today, patients are telling us that they're not willing to just follow along without being told why. You want to take x-rays? You better tell me why. You want me to floss? You better give me some reasons, some good reasons as to why. As a patient, I'm saying in my mind, help me understand the connection between what you're telling me to do and what I really want. If I want you to address the connection between oral health and my overall health, as 78% of the survey respondents said they want you to do, then I, as the dental professional, need to explain why flossing is essential to your overall health. As the patient, I want to know why. Don't just tell me what to do. You have to give me some very clear reasons why. So consider this example of some suggested verbal skills that may be required today when discussing the importance of flossing. Instead of just telling a patient to floss, you might say this. You might say, Mrs. Jones, we've discussed that science is now telling us about the connection between gum disease and heart disease, between gum disease and diabetes, between gum disease and the potential of a stroke and high blood pressure. So it is critical that you do everything you can to keep your gums healthy. When bacteria that cause gum disease get down below your gum line, they thrive because bacteria grow rapidly where there is no air or oxygen. Every time you floss, it not only removes some of the bacteria, but it helps oxygen get down below the gum line, which can help kill some of that dangerous bacteria. That's why it's so important that you floss every day. Does that make sense? Now, how about the whys of x-rays? Since patients don't seem to understand their importance, in fact, you hear every day from new patients who call the office, I just want my teeth cleaned. I don't want the exam, and I certainly don't want the x-rays. So what are the whys behind the x-rays? All right, so let's take x-rays for an example, and the verbal skills, recommended verbal skills for taking x-rays so the patients understand the why. So Ryan's going to be our patient in this case, who maybe has raised some questions about the necessity of taking x-rays. So here's how that conversation might go. So Ryan, let me ask you a question. Have you ever broken a bone?
Yes.
Great. So when you went to the doctor, after the doctor did the visual exam, did the doctor take x-rays?
Yes.
Okay, why?
To see the broken bone, to see how to fix it.
Right, because they need to know how to treat it properly and treat the proper location, right? So just as the physician can't see that break below the skin, there are some things that we just can't see below the skin in your mouth, right? In other words, your gums, or below your gums, right? Because your gum is just skin that's in your mouth. And there's a lot of things that we can't see between the teeth without the help of an x-ray, just like your physician needs an x-ray to see a broken bone. So sometimes the things like x-rays show us how we can affect your overall health and strengthen your teeth. That's why x-rays are so important and such an important part of your well-being and overall health. Does that make sense?
Wow, yes, a lot.
Now, does every patient need an explanation like that? Of course not. Okay. Explanations are in the form of stories, just like we did the bone break story, right? So this is a project for you and the team, is to work on what are the stories that you're telling your patients about the why. Don't give them a clinical lecture. Tell them a story that they can relate to that highlights the importance or the why of what they need to do. More and more, patients want us to make the connection between their mouth and their health. Then they want us to not just tell them what to do, but why they need to do it. So remember, your patients are constantly saying in their mind, just tell me why. You want to take x-rays? You better tell me why. You tell me to floss? You better tell me why. Why? All right, next survey finding. And this one may be a little disturbing, maybe a little unsettling. So take your seat, take a big deep breath, because we're going to walk all the way through this. The next finding is, I love my dental insurance. Now, as painful as that was to say, let's take a look at reality and what's going on with patient perceptions in the marketplace. And then you can decide what to do from there. There are two significant factual findings here. First, 87% of survey respondents that did have dental insurance also had been to the dentist for a checkup in the last 12 months. Okay, so that's nearly, in this survey, 90% of people who had insurance had been to the dentist. In contrast, only 60% of respondents in this survey that did not have dental insurance had been to a dentist for a checkup in the last 12 months. Significantly less. So it appears on the surface that when patients have dental benefits, they're more likely to use those benefits and more likely to go to the dentist on a regular basis compared to those who do not have dental insurance. Now, the second factual finding was the relationship between dental benefits and income. In this survey, 53% of respondents that did have dental insurance were making over $60,000 a year. Meanwhile, 55% of respondents that did not have insurance make less than $40,000. In other words, those with dental benefits may have a bigger capacity to pay, not only in terms of the benefits they have, but in terms of overall income. So this really colors the whole dental insurance equation in a much different light. So what does it mean for your practice? Over the years, insurance has gotten a bad name in dentistry, and I'm not suggesting anything different. much of it's well deserved. But however much you dislike it, the hassles associated with it and the fees connected to it, it remains a factor in how patients are making decisions. So if patients are positively influenced by their dental benefits and it motivates them to come to the office more often, and those with dental insurance appear to have a larger capacity to pay, then we could conclude that patients who have dental insurance are a fertile market in dentistry. Now, that might sound like heresy in light of all the insurance evils that we all talk about in dentistry, but stop for a moment and ask yourself this question. One, what is your attitude toward dental insurance? And let me just put a footnote here. This is not a conversation about being contracted or not being contracted. It's just what's your overall attitude about dental benefits? Number two, has your attitude been negatively influenced because of the lower fees and the reimbursement hassles? Three, has that negative attitude been transferred onto your team? And number four, if they have the same attitude, how are they treating patients who have insurance? How do they inquire about insurance benefits in your office, and how do you respond to that? I'm talking about attitude here. I'm not talking about whether you're contracted or not, just the overall attitude. So consider it this way. Let's say I was invited as a guest to a party. I take the time to prepare, dress appropriately, I arrive on time, but immediately upon arrival, the host has some unkind words about my suit, my tie, or my overall appearance. How would I feel? Well, I probably would not feel too great about the party or the host. In fact, I probably would not return. So by wanting to get rid of the insurance hassles for you and your practice, have you run off good quality patients who have the ability to pay even more than perhaps patients who don't have dental benefits? So patients value their dental benefits. It's part of the compensation they get for the work they do at their employment. So logically, they want to utilize those benefits. Okay, so what's our job? To devalue something that they value? I don't think so. So could I suggest that we probably won't score a lot of big points with patients or guests in the practice by devaluing something that they value? Our job is to recast or reframe those dental benefits in a light where patients can continue to value them in the proper perspective. So after all, these benefits tend to positively influence better patients to come more often to the practice. Based on the data, it might be appropriate to kind of get excited about patients that have dental benefits. Remember, they tend to come more often and they tend to have more money. So what's wrong with that? If our attitude were, we love our patients with dental benefits, isn't it great that you work at a place that provides that for you as part of your compensation? We know it's important to you, so that's why we want to help you maximize your benefits while at the same time providing you the very best quality care we know how to provide. We'll be happy to help you file for your benefits so that your insurance company can reimburse you directly since you're their customer and they want to keep you happy. Does that make sense? Now, I don't know what your approach is when it comes to insurance in your office, whether you accept assignment, whether you're a PPO provider, or don't participate at all. So I'm not going to make any judgments here about that because I've seen firsthand successful practices in all three categories. It depends on your market. In fact, we help practices be successful in whichever category they choose, including providing the systems to migrate into a different category under the right circumstances. The biggest message here in the survey data is not so much about you as it is about your patients and their perception of their benefits. They like them, and they have a tendency to be positively influenced because of them. People with higher incomes appear to have them. So check your attitude and your communication skills with your patients with insurance. It can be a positive if you have the right things in place. So let your patients know that you are on their side to help them maximize their benefits while at the same time maintaining a level of care that you believe is best for your patients. Can the two coexist? With the right systems and the right verbal skills and attitude, they can. Next survey finding. This one will not come as a shock. The most powerful form of marketing in dentistry remains word of mouth. Now, no surprise here, although there are many in dentistry who think in the age of the internet that everything has changed. While the internet and digital marketing has added a whole new component, in many ways, it has just fueled the fire for word of mouth marketing. So let's take a look. 27% of survey respondents said that they would look online for a new dentist. While the internet received the lowest percentage of all possible responses, keep in mind that just a few years ago, it would have been a fraction of that. It's a small but rapidly growing source and force in dental marketing, so we can't ignore it. It continues to grow. Now, a decreasing number said that they would turn to the phone book. Obviously, the phone book is almost out of touch, and most people don't even turn to that source anymore. 43% said they would turn to a professional referral service for a referral. 55% said they would turn to their dental insurance provider directory. There it is again. But the last option received a dramatically higher rating as being the place where patients would look most to find a dentist. 81% said they would look to the advice of friends and family to choose a dentist. 81%. Word of mouth still rules dental marketing. Now, there's a couple of messages here when it comes to marketing your practice. First, there's more than one way to do it, and there's more than one source patients are turning to in order to find you. This survey measured just a few: word of mouth, referral services, insurance companies, and the internet. Now, there's others, including direct mail, radio, TV, and many others. So do you know which methods are the most effective for you? Are you tracking every referral source so that you can see the trends in where your patients are coming from and adjust your marketing accordingly? Second, are you testing other methods besides what you're doing now to see what else you could do that might work better? For example, in the world of direct mail marketing, the 80-20 rule is commonly used to test new messages or offers. A direct mail marketer will usually mail the piece that it's been getting the best results to 80% of the list and then test a new message to the other 20% of the list just to see which message gets the best response proportionally. An experienced direct mail marketer would never take the risk of mailing an untested message to an entire list. The risk would be too great. If the message bombs, the entire investment goes down the drain. So by testing something new on 20% of the list, the risk of testing is reduced while continuing to get good returns from a proven message. That's why a good marketer's motto is always test everything. Now, third, what works there may not work here. Every market's different. The demographics are different, the preferences are different, every practice is different. That's why you have to see for yourself what works the best for you. Fourth, if I were to tell you that there was a target market for your practice where you could potentially reach over 80% of the prospects with one very inexpensive marketing technique, would you be interested? Would you pay close attention to it? Would you focus on it until it produced what you expected? If you were smart and aware and savvy, of course you would. So what are you actively doing to promote more word of mouth marketing for your practice? The survey says 81% prefer to find a dentist that's recommended by someone they know. Now, here's a quick word of mouth marketing checklist to see how you measure up in dentistry's most powerful form of marketing. Number one, are you giving your patients a great experience in your office that compels them to talk about you? If so, what do they talk about? What do they say? What do you want them to say? Do they notice your great decor and fancy amenities, or are they more impressed by how they feel when they're in your office? When was the last time you reviewed with your team the step-by-step system you use to make sure your patients have a great experience in your office? How about the verbal skills everyone on the team is supposed to use? In our work with even the most experienced offices, we've noticed that these systems and verbal skills are the first things to slip unless they receive continual attention. Next, are you actively asking your patients for referrals every day? Now, for years at the Total Patient Service Institute, we've recommended that one of the items on the morning meeting agenda should be which patients you're going to ask for a referral today and who on the team is going to ask. Typically, asking at least two people a day is a reasonable goal. But if the topic doesn't receive the attention in the morning meeting and the assignment isn't made, it rarely happens. So we call it the 2x2 rule, 2 referrals and 2 reviews. In every morning meeting, you identify 2 patients you're going to ask for referrals and 2 patients that you're going to ask for an online review, because while patients love word of mouth and love the advice of a trusted friend or family member, they also look online to back it up. In addition, make sure that whomever accepts the assignment for the day has the opportunity to report back to the team the next day in the morning meeting. Also, make sure that the referral conversation gets recorded in the patient's chart so that the next time the patient comes in, the team member can follow up on the previous referral conversation. Like anything else in the practice, it's going to get done, and if it's going to get done, it needs a system that can be followed on a daily basis. Next, before you can make the assignment in your morning meeting as to who is going to ask for the referral that day, are you confident that everyone on your team knows how to ask? So, like simply asking, do you know of anyone who needs a dentist? That's probably not going to get the response that you want. So, do you have a proven dialogue that the entire team has been trained in that, when followed, will help get the results that you want? Many times we don't ask because we don't know how. And because we don't know how, we don't get a very good response when we do. Take the time to train the entire team so that they have the confidence to ask that comes with the competence of knowing how. So as an example, if you'd like an approach, a step-by-step approach, including the verbal skills on how to ask for referrals, just call the Total Patient Service Institute, 1-877-399-8677. So that's 1-877-399-TOPS. And request the specific verbal skills. In fact, we'll even send you a card that you can use chairside or help your team to understand those skills. Next, are you tracking how often you ask for referrals and how many you ask for? Each day when you make the assignment to a team member to ask, are you tracking how many conversations they have so that at the end of the week or the end of the month, you can see how well you're doing as a team in this area? So we recommend that every team have specific things that they can track on a daily basis so that you can see the score throughout the month. In addition to tracking daily production and collections, you might want to track things like new patients, treatment plans, how many patients scheduled, how many patients you asked for referrals, among other things. What we measure tends to be managed better than just what we expect. If it's worth doing, it's worth measuring so we can see what's really going on and what the results are. Next, do you have a recognition system in place where you acknowledge, thank, show appreciation to those patients who refer or review you online? Maybe you have a system in place where you send a thank you card for the first referral, movie tickets when they send another referral, a gift card when they send the next, and a gift certificate for dinner at a nice restaurant for the next. Have some type of system in place that you follow so that you don't have to remember each time to do something as a thank you to a patient who's referred someone. Now, as a footnote here, I'd highly recommend that before you put that system in place, you refer to the laws in your state in terms of what you can and cannot do in this situation. Some states prohibit anything of a monetary value going to patients. You just have to check with the laws in your state. So it is possible, regardless of the laws in your state, to show gratitude and appreciation to patients without directly tying it to a referral. So just letting them know that you appreciate them as a patient goes a long way to encouraging them to tell more people about you. Next, do you reward your team members for their personal efforts and successes in getting more referrals for the practice? So a friendly contest from time to time might encourage every team member to ask more. So here's the question. Is promoting and encouraging word of mouth a concentrated and ongoing effort in your office? I think you'd agree that everyone recognizes how important it is, but do you have all the systems in place to make sure that it happens on a regular, consistent, routine basis? Take the time to review and renew your system so that it works every day in your practice. So here's just a quick review of just some of the survey findings that we have talked about in the last two podcasts. One, patients want more information about oral cancer. What is your oral cancer screening protocol? Two, they want to know more about periodontal disease. And in fact, they expect more information on the correlation between their oral health and their overall health. They get it. Third, don't tell me to floss. Oh, and by the way, don't tell me x-rays either. Don't just tell me what to do. You have to tell me why. Fourth, I love my dental benefits. What's your attitude toward dental insurance, and how is that attitude being communicated to your patients? And five, word of mouth marketing continues to remain the number one preferred way for patients to find a dentist. So in some cases, patients are telling us that we need to change. We need to, for example, be addressing whole health issues. We need to be the physicians of the mouth. We need to stop telling patients what to do. We need to get better at telling them why. In other cases, we've found that things haven't changed much at all. Many patients value their dental benefits. Most would prefer to find a dentist through the recommendation of a friend or family member. That hasn't changed much. So, in an effort to put all these findings into action so that you can get better results in your practice, here are some suggestions that you can act on and review with your team. I call them beliefs. What does your belief need to be moving forward? New belief number one, we're members of the total healthcare team. Dentistry today is the number one frontline healthcare professional. So as the physician of the mouth, you need to start acting more like the doctor. Your patients expect you to address whole health issues that might be symbiotic in the mouth, or things that you might be aware of that they have not identified yet. So here's the action. Start paying more attention to the health history form as patients fill it out. Are you really discussing the responses with the patient or just skimming over it? Do you really know how to talk to patients about their whole health or just their dental health? Do you know the signs that show up in the mouth that are symptoms of whole health issues? Patients know there's a body attached to their teeth. Are you treating them accordingly? New belief number two, tell me more about what I want to know. Today, patients know that oral cancer and periodontal disease affect their overall health. They want you to address that fact as well as anything else going on in their mouth that might affect their overall health. So are you going to talk to them about what you want to talk about, or are you going to talk about what they want to talk about? Common sense says that if you start by talking about what your patients want to talk about, they'll be more open to everything that you have to say. So here's the action. Develop your oral cancer and periodontal protocols along with the verbal skills for each. Work with your team on how to initiate the discussion with your patients in these two areas. Measure your results and then go back and refine and fine-tune your approach. We recently initiated an oral cancer awareness initiative in a practice we work with. Initially, patients didn't seem interested. Their response didn't even seem to track with what the survey indicated. We suggested some changes to the approach, the presentation, and the verbal skills that were being used. Almost immediately, patient response changed from indifference to acceptance. The results depended on the approach. So what was the lesson? In all the things that we do, the key is in the presentation. So keep working on it to find what works best for you and your team and your patients. New belief number three, tell me why. Patients are becoming increasingly informed on their own through the media and the internet. They no longer are willing to be blindly obedient by just taking your word for it and doing what you tell them to do. They want to know why. They want to know why they should floss every day. They need to know why x-rays are good for their health and well-being. Perio patients have to know why it's essential they come back every 6 months or 3 months for perio maintenance. If you expect to see them regularly, you have to tell them why. If you want your patient to act, you have to give them the why to do, not just the what to do. So here's the action in this area. Print out in large type and post on your lunchroom a sign that says, "Tell me why," as a reminder to everyone on the team that you must give your patients emotionally compelling reasons for the actions you're asking them to take. Then start reworking your verbal skills together to include the whys of x-rays, the whys of flossing, the whys of perio maintenance, and other things that require your patient's cooperation. Tomorrow, when your hygiene team is working with a patient, is your hygienist just going to tell them to floss? Or is she going to explain why flossing will help the patient reach his or her overall health goals? Help your team realize that if you're not getting the action you want from your patients, it may be because, as a team, you're not giving them what they subconsciously want and need. Compelling reasons why. New belief number four, we love our patients with insurance. I know that that might grate on your psyche, but remember, according to the survey, patients with dental insurance benefits can have higher incomes, they tend to visit the dentist more frequently, and that doesn't mean that you have to love their insurance. It doesn't mean that you have to jump on the insurance bandwagon and be a provider. It just means that your patients perceive their dental benefits as a value. It seems to positively influence their behavior in your direction. So it only makes sense to take advantage of something that can be a positive for the practice. So here's the action. Revisit your attitude about dental insurance. If your patients value it, and it can be a source of positive influence in their behavior, what can you do to help them more? While we never make their benefits the reason for treatment, it certainly can be an added benefit. Oh, and by the way, it looks like your benefits can help out some with the treatment. Instead of telling your patients why you don't take their insurance if you don't, why not recast it as a benefit to them? You'll help them get the value from their benefits. It all starts with your attitude. If you devalue something that your patients naturally value, you may be on a slippery slope that leads to alienating the very thing you want to attract, a valuable patient. Belief number 5, patients are driven by word of mouth. While this may not be a new belief, it does deserve a new approach with more emphasis. Remember, 81% of survey respondents prefer going to a dentist who has been recommended to them by someone they know and trust. So, what are you doing to create more word of mouth marketing for your practice? Here's a suggested action. Start by revisiting the experience that patients have in your practice. What is it like? Are you giving them something to talk about, or is it just another dental visit? People have a tendency to talk about things that make them feel different than they were expecting. Next, are you asking for referrals daily, as we suggested earlier? Are you asking for online reviews? Are you tracking your activity and results? If it's worth doing, it's worth measuring. So there they are, 5 new beliefs for you to consider for your practice, to either they might be new or renewed. So if it helps, you might want to consider the following to get started. One office we are working with listened carefully to the findings of the survey. At first, they were overwhelmed at the things that they could potentially work on that would positively impact their practice. So they decided to divide and conquer. They took each of the suggested new beliefs and actions and divided them up. Each team member became the chairperson of that new belief and was responsible for developing, presenting, and helping the whole team implement the ideas and the techniques and the systems that would align the office more with what their patients wanted. While it's still a work in progress, the entire team has been energized by the project and they're starting to see positive results in many areas. So our hope is that these findings and the corresponding perspectives will help get you and your team started on a new path of practice improvement and accomplishment. So at the Total Patient Service Institute and at the Crown Council, we're dedicated to providing the systems, the wisdom, the support, and the culture to take your practice to the top. So take advantage of everything that there is at the Total Patient Service, at Crown Council, that can help create a culture of success in your practice to take your entire practice and your team to a whole new level of performance. That is a best practice of top practices.
You've been listening to Best Practices of Top Practices. You can follow Steve on Facebook at Stephen J. Anderson and Instagram at TheStephenJAnderson. If you haven't yet, go to Apple Podcasts and subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. Join us next time for more Best Practices of Top Practices. Thanks for being with us.